Welcome back, folks. Already 8 minutes and 18 seconds into the second hour of this worldwide coast-to-coast broadcast. A lot of you probably saw the early 1960s classic Dr. Strangelove by Stanley Kubrick. And it's a great film, but there's the insane general, Jack T. Ripper, who's going to nuke the world because he thinks the communists are poisoning the water supply. And there's lots of propaganda out there that, oh, kooks and crazies say this. Well, I scan news wires every day, and I see news articles from all the big European papers. I have seen hundreds of top studies by major universities all over the globe of how dangerous different types of fluoride are in the water supply, not to mention the stuff that's mixed in with the types of fluoride they use for the water supply that come out of as byproducts of the aluminum manufacturing industry. And so, I mean, I've read news articles where the majority of a town doesn't want fluoridation, and they still do it. The government will lobby to do this. A lot of areas of the world are pulling fluoridation out. There are Nobel Prize winners that have spoken out against fluoride, the different types of fluoride they're putting in the water supply. And that's why I'm so honored that Dr. Paul Conant has taken time out, because he really does care, to join us. And he's of the Fluoride Action Network. Dr. Conant teaches chemistry at St. Lawrence University in Canton, New York. He's got his first degree from Cambridge University and his PhD from Dartmouth, and is the leading scientist opposed to fluoridation. And again, he was invited to give a presentation to the National Research Council on August 12th on the concerns of the anti-fluoride movement in April. He was invited by the EPA to debate the issue, and they couldn't even get anybody who would stand up against Dr. Paul Conant. Doctor, again, thank you for joining us here on the show today.
I'm delighted, Alex. Thanks for letting me on.
You bet. Tell us, break down just a little bit about yourself and then how fluoride got in the water and what it does to the human body, all the different scientific studies, fluoride linked to the low IQ and children, just give us in a nutshell in the next 10, 15 minutes what we're facing.
Well, I'd be delighted, Alex. First of all, how did I get involved? 7 years ago, my wife came into the living room. She had a cup of tea, gave it down, put it on my table. I should have been suspicious since I got the cup of tea, and said, "Dear, would you read this?" I said, "What is it?" And she said, "Fluoridation." I said, "Take that crap away. These people are crazy." You know, the Dr. Strangelove notion that people have absorbed. When I started to read, I was extremely shocked by the fact that fluoride, from a chemical perspective, we chemists, professional chemists, think of fluoride as a pretty unreactive thing, as opposed to fluorine gas, its parent, which is extremely reactive, the most reactive element in the periodic table. But fluoride, it should be an unreactive substance. It's like comparing sodium chloride, common salt, with chlorine gas. Chlorine gas, very poisonous, very reactive gas. Sodium chloride, you sprinkle it on your potatoes. But it turns out that fluoride is extremely active biologically, and we know it interferes with enzymes. We know it forms...
Dr. Conant, can I stop you for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, this is the first time we've had this. When you were having the opposite problem with most folks, they talk too low.
Yes.
Your receiver is so good that it's distorting, so you can back off the phone a little bit.
Okay, will do. How's
that? Great job. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Enzymes are the catalysts in the body which catalyze practically every chemical reaction. So when you find a substance is sort of universally poisons enzymes, at least in test tubes, you have to be worried. The second thing it does is it forms complex ions with metal ions. Now, that means that it can interfere with the normal functioning of things that we need, like calcium and magnesium. If it gets into the right place, it can interfere with those ions. And it also means, incidentally, that if you've got toxic metals, by fluoride forming complexes with them, means it can get these metal ions like aluminum and lead into places where they normally wouldn't go. So we have a rat study, for example, where at 1 part per million of fluoride, the same level that they put in the drinking water, that increases the uptake of lead into the brain and forms amyloid deposits just like you get in...
So it's a blood-brain barrier breacher.
Yes, it can get these metal ions where they normally wouldn't go because it tricks the body into seeing something different. Well, let me jump forward a little bit because I'd like to get to something... first of all, let me make one quick correction. The fluoride that they use for the drinking water does not occur naturally. They don't use fluoride ion. They don't use calcium fluoride or even sodium fluoride in the main. As you rightly point out, they use an industrial waste product. But that comes largely today from the phosphate fertilizer industry. And once upon a time, the phosphate plants down in Florida and Louisiana and places like that were a major source of air pollution. Now the EPA has forced them to clean up their act, so they have these what they call wet scrubbers on the stacks, and they remove the fluoride. But that's the good news. The bad news is that they then take these scrubbing solutions, which is hexafluorosilicic acid or it's sodium salt, and that is what they use to fluoridate the drinking water without processing, without cleaning it up. And in those, you've got toxic metals like lead and arsenic, albeit at very low levels, and also possibly radioactive isotopes. So I think that's a big shock for people, because I think when they hear that fluoride is being put into the water, they assume that the government is using pharmaceutical-grade pure stuff, but they're not. They're using the...
Well, I've read the lobbyist reports who are working for the big aluminum plants and the fertilizer plants, and they brag that, hey, this would cost us so much to have to separate this out or store this.
Yep.
And there's all these heavy metals, all this toxic waste. It's like depleted uranium.
Yep.
They've got all these millions of tons of stuff from the weapons production.
Yep.
They go, okay, we'll just put it in bullets and bombs and drop it all over Serbia and Iraq. And now BBC is reporting 1,900 times the safe level of depleted uranium in Baghdad. So they take toxic waste and just put it into the general food supply, it seems.
Yep. Well, that's certainly true in this case with the water. There's no question about this, and it's a big shock to dentists. Sometimes when you tell a dentist this, you know, they're putting hazardous waste in the drinking water, they'll deny it. So when they go around talking about the program is cost-effective, of course it's bloody cost-effective if you use an industrial waste product. They can't dump this stuff in the sea. They can't dump it into rivers or lakes. They don't have enough water nearby in Florida to treat each gallon of scrubbing liquor with 180,000 gallons of water. But we, in the public, the unsuspecting public, we do have enough water for them to dilute it down. And so they're chucking it into our water supply. And, you know, they sometimes say, well, fluoride is naturally occurring. We have fluoride in surface water and particularly in groundwater.
But that's calcium fluoride.
Yeah, it is calcium fluoride. Well, at least the most of the fluoride has come from calcium fluoride, and there's usually a large excess of calcium in any drinking water supply that has fluoride, which means, naturally, and calcium is is protective against fluoride. That's well established. So if you're taking a little bit of fluoride and a lot of calcium, it won't have as much effect as, say, putting sodium fluoride into pure water. But I'd like to respond to this word natural, because the one place that we should take our cues is what is the level in mother's milk, mother's breast milk. It turns out the level of fluoride in mother's breast milk is, on average, 0.01 parts per million. 100 times less than the level that they put in the water. So who's right here? The American Dental Association or the forces of evolution? If fluoride was necessary for healthy teeth or healthy bones,
you would find it in high levels in mother's milk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you don't, if it was necessary and it's not there, it means that evolution or God, whoever you think it is, caused this, screwed up. And I don't think nature did. And it actually tells us something else, Alex. Number one, the fact that it's so low tells us, one, we don't need the stuff, and two, we probably will be damaged by it, that nature had its reasons. I mean, life evolved from the sea. In the sea, you've got 1.3 parts per million on average. So there was plenty of fluoride for nature to use, and for some reason, she didn't put it into mother's milk. Compare that with chloride. Now, chloride is also in the sea. Chloride in mother's milk is 300 parts per million. That's, what, 30,000 times higher than the levels of fluoride. Of course, we do need chloride.
Let me stop you, Doctor. We've got a break. This is amazing information. We're so honored to have you. But I go to the store. I see special bottled water that says fluoride for your baby, higher levels. What in the... This is like... Is this insane, a sinister plan?
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Because the dentists are now saying that the major benefits of fluoride, as far as teeth is concerned, and they're not very convincing, by the way, that we're talking very small benefits, and I can talk about the studies in a moment, but to come back to the central issue, they are saying that the major benefits of fluoride, such that they are topical. In other words, you have to apply it to the surface of the teeth, not that you don't need to swallow it. And, of course, the one thing that you can guarantee if you put it in the drinking water is that people are going to swallow it, not gargle. They're going to swallow it. So here they're saying on the one hand the benefits are topical, and then they're standing by this obsolete form of medicine of putting this stuff in the drinking water of every man, woman, and child in the country. You can't control the dose. The margin of safety is very, very small. Alex, at the beginning of the show, you talked about the latest study from China, which talked about a lowering of IQ. They have found in China, in a study that was published just a couple of months ago, that there was a reduction in IQ at 1.8 parts per million.
Unbelievable, and on average, that's what they're putting in our water.
Well, what margin of safety do you have? If you're getting lowering of IQs at 1.8 parts per million, and we're putting in the drinking water at 1 part per million, and you can't control the dose of what people are taking...
Stay there, doctor. We got a break. Amazing information. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
My friends, he's testified before the FDA, before the National Research Council. He's a PhD. I mean, he's got more letters behind his name than supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. He's Dr. Paul Connett. And I want listeners to understand that every week I see major universities. I've got studies from the 1920s from the University of Texas by guys who buildings are named after, going, fluoride causes retardation, causes toxification of the blood. I mean, they knew this stuff a long time ago. So what's going on here that they put this in the water in the late 1940s?
Well, I don't want to get into the conspiracy theories, but I think that water fluoridation, Alex, has served some massive distractions. It's distracted us from the fact that our kids are consuming far too much sugar. And instead of telling them to stop eating all that sugar and all those sugary foods and everything else between meals, we say, oh, you don't have to bother about that, parent. Just give them this magic bullet of fluoride. So it's a distraction from an overdosing on sugar, number one. Number two, it's a distraction from the fact that this wealthy country has one of the worst dental care programs for poor children in the world. In fact, 80% of our dentists will not treat children on Medicaid. And so with the fluoride...
Well, let me stop you, doctor.
Yeah.
That's true. I know that because I'm actually through family involved in the whole dental thing. But, I'm trying to understand something here.
Yeah.
Again, I have University of Texas major reports from the 20s, the 30s.
Yeah.
I got stuff from last year out of Ireland. Steve, you know about all the studies.
Yeah.
How it makes the bones break, how it toxifies the blood.
Yeah.
I'm saying there was stuff in the 20s and 30s. How could they put it in the water knowing that?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, how is it today, for example, that we have the CDC being quoted all over the world as saying that fluoridation is one of the top 10 public health practices in the 20th century, at the same time that they're 6 years out of date on the literature? I mean, how can that happen? I mean, if I was 6 years out of date, I'd be sacked. I certainly wouldn't be able to speak in public. And yet here's the CDC, this highly respected government agency supposed to be protecting our health, 6 years out of date on their pronouncements about the safety. They go around saying it's safe and effective. They're 6 years out of date. This is scandalous.
And now they say that fluoride is for topical use, at least for the last 10 years that I know of, because my father's an oral surgeon and a dentist.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I've seen the reports. They say, oh, it's only for topical, but they're saying you've got to ingest it.
Yeah, I know. It's absolutely absurd. Of course, by ingesting it, then you're exposing it to some of the things that you talked about. I mean, 50% of all the fluoride that you get every day from all sources accumulates in your bones. The earliest symptoms of fluoride poisoning of the bones is the symptoms of arthritis. We have a situation in the United States where 1 in 3 Americans have arthritis. And then they have the gall to turn around and say, well, there's no evidence that fluoride is causing any damage.
Yeah, all these young people are getting arthritis,
yeah.
And I've got the big studies out of Ireland with all these top scientists saying that's exactly what it does. Their studies were on bones.
Yeah, absolutely. And a very critical study came out of Mexico a couple of years ago, 2001, where Alarcon Herrera and her colleagues looked at bone fractures in children, and they found a very strong linear correlation with the severity of dental fluorosis. Now, mottling of the enamel is one of the well-known, well-characterized first symptoms of poisoning by fluoride. It damages the enamel. And there was a trade-off. When they started fluoridation, they knew this was going to happen to about 10% of the kids.
Fluorosis.
Yeah, dental fluorosis. They knew it.
You see, now, these kids have got brown spots all over their teeth. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's right. And a small percentage of them, but maybe 1 in 100. But 1 in 100 is a lot of kids in the United States. The more severe the dental fluorosis, you get a color change. It's mildest form, it's little white specks, and then it becomes yellow, orange, brown, and then you get pitting. And what these workers did, they looked at the severity of dental fluorosis, which is a biomarker for a fluoride exposure before your permanent teeth have erupted, and looked at bone fractures. And sure enough, the more severe the dental fluorosis, the higher the frequency of bone fractures. The teeth are a window to the bone. When you see that damage to the teeth, you could be pretty certain there's something going on in your bones.
So it's rotting holes in the teeth, and they're telling us it's good for our teeth.
Yeah, and they're saying it's just a cosmetic effect. This is the way they handle dental fluorosis. That the way they're dismissing the fact that dental fluorosis is 3 to 5 times higher than their initial goal is to say you don't have to worry about that. It's a cosmetic effect. Is any?
Yeah. Doctor, stay there. One more segment, just about 10 more minutes with you. We are so honored to have you. We post a lot of news articles on InfoWars.com, folks, into the organization the doctor's a member of. And he is the leading scientist opposed to fluoridation, Dr. Paul Conant. Stay there, doctor. One more quick 3-minute break. We'll be back.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
And Kevin and many others that are holding, we will get to you before this hour ends. We've got one more segment left with Dr. Paul Conant, the leading scientist in the world opposed to fluoridation, out there testifying to the EPA, the National Research Council. A great website to visit that has some of his work and hundreds of other major studies on how deadly this is from around the world, fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.org. And now is the time to protect yourself from this scourge. The doctor made a good point about how then we also feed our kids all this horrible sugar that toxifies them and eats out their teeth, and then, oh, fluoride's the answer, when in reality, fluorosis is spreading all over the country because of the buildup of these toxic fluorides in the body, and then it rots holes in the children's teeth. And that's a key point the doctor also made, the studies that I've read here on air. And I've got them from all over the world, major university after major university after major institution, saying that they're taking toxic waste, these toxic fluorides mixed with all this lead and arsenic and Grignard reagents and heavy metals and in some cases radioactive material, and dumping it in your water. Doctor, I'm going to just have you another 5, 6, 7 minutes longer. Other key points you'd like to make for our listeners about this serious issue?
Well, two things I'd I'd like to quickly make. One is some people listening might think I'm full of hot air. Here's the challenge, Alex. Let them find, if they think that I'm not telling them the absolute truth here, or they think my arguments are weak, I challenge them to find any dentist, doctor, or government official, particularly those who are so proud of fluoridation, to debate me in public. I will go to any state or any country to debate them. So that's the challenge.
Now, I have an Associated Press article here where for months you challenged the FDA to have someone debate you.
EPA,
EPA. They refused, but let you speak, and no one came to debate you. Why is that?
Yeah, they tried for 6 weeks. They tried the ADA, they tried the CDC, the FDA, throughout the EPA. Dentists, academics, they couldn't find one single person to do it.
So now, you're a chemist by training, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
Tell folks a little bit about your medical training at the prestigious Cambridge University in Dartmouth.
Yeah, I did my first degree in natural sciences at Cambridge, and I did a PhD in inorganic biochemistry. I looked at the mechanism of action of chromium, chromate, a known human carcinogen. So that's my background. I teach environmental chemistry. And
what do you think of the bodybuilders then that are saying take the chromium?
Oh, yes. Chromium-3 in small quantities is necessary for sugar metabolism. So chromium is it's one of these things which is a small amount is good for you, but you want to have it as chromium-3. You do not want it as chromium-6. Chromium-6 is highly toxic.
Okay, gotcha. Since we have the world expert on that, I figure I get a comment from you.
The second thing, Alex, is that yesterday we released publicly a petition which has been signed by over 300 scientists and activists from 38 different countries calling for integrity in this issue. There are 6 points that we make. They're not doing independent and objective reviews. Governments are not doing. They're not collecting the right data. They're not collecting bone levels of fluoride, even though they know it accumulates there. They are attempting to intimidate scientists and government officials who come out against fluoridation. They are using industrial waste instead of pharmaceutical grade, and also they're exaggerating the benefits like crazy, and of course they're refusing to debate.
Now, there was a doctor who was for fluoridation in Canada, and I was reading the article a few weeks ago.
Yes.
He suddenly came out and said, I was wrong, I apologize.
Yep, Dr. Hardy Lineback, and this is not your average dentist. Dr. Hardy Lineback is the head of preventive dentistry at the University of Toronto and the former president of the Canadian Association for Dental Researchers. He is one of the leading dental researchers in Canada. He was once an avid promoter of fluoridation. He was the Canadian Dental Association's chief spokesman on issues pertaining to fluoridation.
Well, the Toronto Star said he was the guy that got fluoride put in the water.
Yep. So he is somebody who's changed, because he's got integrity. That's what we're talking about, integrity. And, in fact, Dr. Hardy Lineback was one of the scientists that helped me.
Well, that takes a lot of integrity to come out and say you're wrong.
Oh, absolutely. And before him, John Cahoon in New Zealand did the same thing. But he was one of the people that organized this petition, which is calling for these steps that have to be taken, whether you're for fluoridation.
What website do you recommend for the best information and medical reports?
I think the best one would be www.s for sugar, L for Larry, slweb.org. And if you go to that, there's a complete annotated bibliography on all the medical health studies and so on.
We could save a lot of lives if every listener printed this stuff off and delivered it to your dentist and said, why are you still giving fluoride treatments? Why are you still coming to the schools and passing this garbage out? Why are you part of this?
Yep, absolutely. Why won't you debate it? If you think it's so good, how come you can't defend it? My mother told me, it doesn't matter, son, he says, it doesn't matter what you believe, but my goodness, you should be prepared to defend it. And the moment you can't defend an idea, that's the day you should give it up. Well, these guys are avidly promoting something that they can't defend, and that's just unacceptable to me as a citizen and as a scientist. One other piece of information which is critically important, Alex. It was shown in 1997 and published in 2001 that fluoride accumulates in the human pineal gland. For years and years and years, the the dentists and others have been telling people that fluoride only impacts the hard tissues, the bones and the teeth.
Now we're talking about the seat of the soul.
That's right. That's your witches. That's good for you. That's Descartes, yes. It's sometimes called the penis of the brain. I think Descartes is more poetic on this. It's the center of the brain. It's not protected by the blood-brain barrier, and it's a calcifying tissue, just like the teeth and the bones, and it attracts fluoride like a magnet. And in animal studies, the same researcher, Jennifer Luke, in England, has found that it lowers melatonin levels, and I'm sure you're familiar with all the studies going on with melatonin.
And then now we've got to have our Prozac and our Ritalin.
There are two steps. There are four steps between the natural amino acid tryptophan and melatonin production in the pineal gland, four enzymatic steps. The first two steps, you produce serotonin. You talk about Prozac. Serotonin. Prozac is designed to make serotonin that you produce more effective. And, of course, serotonin is, it quietens you down. So this is a way of quietening down your brain activity. But here is a substance which interferes at some point between tryptophan and the production of melatonin. It might
Wow.
It's ridiculous. If you know that, I mean, that one.
And so as you get older, that builds up.
It could do, and I mean, this could affect aging, it could affect the onset of puberty, or jet lag, sleep patterns, you name it. It's a very, very important system, the pineal gland and melatonin, incredibly important, regulating substance.
Well, doctor, I got to stop you here. I mean,
I talked to this. One more thing here. Not one single government agency in the world, in Australia, in New Zealand, in England, in Ireland, in Canada, in the United States, in Brazil, in Argentina, all the places, Singapore, the countries that fluoridate, not one single government has yet to make a formal response to that piece of information, even though it was discovered in 1907 and was published in 2001. That's scandalous.
Doctor, it's massive. But, and again, every day I scan around, I see these news articles, I know it's out there. This is not debatable. It's the top scientists like yourself. This stuff just, as you said, blocks all the enzymes. It causes so many problems in the body. It goes through almost everything. It's now, they say, in the meat, in the vegetables. It's infecting the entire food supply. But I talk to scientists and doctors and people all the time, and they never speculate, which is important. You've just given us the facts. But
yeah.
Earlier you said you're not going to, you know, when I mentioned 1920s and 30s studies that I've got from universities saying it dumbed people down, and then you say, well, I'm not going to get into why they do this. I mean, that is, of course, they won't respond, they won't say anything to you, but why, if you've got all these reports, these decades-old fights, why are they moving to fluoridate more, not less? I mean, why are they doing it?
Well, I think they're covering their rear ends. They do not want to admit that they're wrong, that they've been wrong for over 50 years, that they've been exaggerating like crazy. I mean, we're only saving 0.6 of one tooth surface out of 128 tooth surfaces. That's the biggest study in the country. All this angst, all these concerns I have are all apparently to save 0.6 of one tooth surface, Brunel and Carlos, 1990. It's absolutely certain.
Now, wait a minute. You just said that. And I've seen that report because I've been studying this for years.
Yeah.
That's their big number. But then you've got all the other studies that it's eating holes in people's teeth, and we have the evidence of it. So if you took those two numbers, I guarantee you net effect is much more detrimental just to teeth than you had the hormones and the organs and the brain and the glands.
But for 0.6 of a tooth, listen, they didn't even show that was statistically significant, but let's assume that it was. You are going to accumulate stuff in the pineal gland, in your bones. You're going to run the risk of lowering your children's IQ to save 0.6 of one tooth surface out of 128 tooth surfaces in a child's mouth. It's insane. No wonder these guys won't get on the same platform with the scientist who knows the issue. They'd rather do it by waving these pieces of paper in front of you. Oh, the Surgeon General says it's wonderful. I mean, they trot out the Surgeon General like Nike trots out Michael Jordan. You know, for to sell Nike shoes, if Michael Jordan says that Nike shoes are great, well, they must be good. So you bring out the Surgeon General, who keeps saying it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Doctor, have you, I mean, I've got the papers you've written, I've read a bunch of the other papers, organizations, slweb.org. Yep. Have you written a book on this subject?
I'm in the process of writing a book, and last January I presented a major paper at the Institute of the International Society for Fluoride Research in New Zealand, which went through all the evidence on bone damage.
Dr. Paul Connett, I've got to get you back on in the future so that our listeners from Denver, Colorado, to Austin, Texas, to Rochester, New York, can have a chance to hear you again, and so we can take some calls. I know there's a lot more, and as this fight develops, one last question. Have you found any way to stop cities and counties from fluoridating? Because you can have a town hall meeting where 90% of people are against it. They'll still vote for it. How do you counter that?
Well, my route is democracy. If we're going to make mistakes, let them be democratic mistakes and not bureaucratic mistakes. So I think the very minimum that you want is a referendum. But more than that, so that you give everybody a chance to vote on it, that is works if you have a chance to educate the public. But I think what we need right now is a moratorium on any more fluoridation until the scientists have resolved this issue.
All right. Dr. Paul Connett, an amazing, dynamic, intelligent person, and a chemist who has joined us, and the government will not debate him, though they have allowed him to speak to the Environmental Protection Agency. And thank you so much for coming on the show, and Godspeed.
Thanks, Alex, and I hope that we'll do this again.
Absolutely. Wow.